This is DreamWords. Tom Corvin by Paul Story.
Chapter 11. When Catriona entered the room a few seconds later, Tom was still blinking tears from his stinging eyes. He stood with his back to the fire, staring at the spot where the person had to have been to tap him on the shoulder. If he was thinking logically, he might have shrugged the incident off as a trick of his disturbed mind. But the experience reawakened his sense of unease about the place, the feeling that something lurked in the shadows, waiting. When the girl saw the ashen face and ash tears, she placed the two mugs she was carrying on the mantelpiece and took him gently by the shoulders.
"Tom, what is it?"
When he didn't answer, she looked around the room, trying to figure out what he was staring at. When Tom suddenly realised that he was not alone, he focused on Catriona and the cottage became the warm, dry shelter it had been before she'd left the room.
"The fire. A draught, I think." "Sit down," she commanded.
He sat, mesmerised by her gently swaying hair, its black sheen reflecting the suddenly healthy fire.
"Drink this. You're still weak."
He was about to agree with her when the thought of continued lies unsettled him.
"I saw something. No, I felt. Heard something."
Catriona sat on the sofa, her legs tucked under her, facing the boy. Tom sat straight as though his spine had petrified.
"It's..." Catriona paused, changing her words mid-flow. "My uncle."
Tom realised that she was talking about the man in the next room.
"I gave him half a bottle of whiskey. He's blowing his own hurricane."
She was humouring him. "No, it wasn't that. It was a woman." He looked at the fire as though expecting to see her face in the flames. "She spoke to me." Catriona felt his forehead and eased him back onto the pillow. He hadn't thought about her reaction. Perhaps she saw his madness.
"You're confused," she told him.
And of course that was true. But she did not ridicule the intensity of his experience. She respread the blanket, placed a cushion at the other end of the sofa, and tucked herself in so that they could talk facing each other without the cricked necks they'd endured earlier.
"You didn't see her?"
"She was behind me. When I turned, there was no one." They sat drinking from the steaming mugs, steaming still because, despite the direct warmth of the fire on their faces, there was an all-pervading chill to the air. It reminded him of his night, freezing and wet by the sea and then in his cave. Catriona put her mug to her lap and looked directly at the boy.
"Do you believe in ghosts, Tom?"
It was a simple question. But to Tom, a response that required self-knowledge was anything but simple.
"I don't know."
This was literally true. He didn't know what he believed.
"There has to be something."
Catriona seemed as though she would expand on this, but the thought froze in her lips for a second before finding the words she needed.
"I mean, there has to be something. When we die, our souls. Heaven."
"Hell."
"Yes," she said. "I suppose that too."
"This place." He looked about the room, dark shadows writhing in the corner.
"What's its history?"
"Don't know." She was going to leave it there, but noted Tom's puzzled expression and elaborated.
"It's not ours. We borrowed it from a friend. We've never been here before."
This answered some of his questions, but there was still something missing. He couldn't place it, so he continued to probe blindly.
"It's a bit desolate for a holiday getaway."
She shivered, the boy's mood infusing her with a sense of foreboding. She shook herself and forced a smile.
"It's not always like this. It's really beautiful. Peaceful-like. Sometimes it's even busy. Weekends there's a procession of walkers, children, dogs."
He smiled at this thought. The notion that they would not be isolated forever, briefly comforting.
"Everything but door-to-door salesman," he said. Katriana giggled and a tiny splash of tea escaped her mug. "They used to make millstones from enormous boulders close by. There's still a huge rock wheel a half mile along the shore. It weighs tons, all that work, and they just abandoned it. And now they're dead." Tom tried to imagine the people that lived in the cottage then. It looked old enough to have been built hundreds of years ago, but in truth, he had no idea of the timescales involved. The notion gave life to the old place, and he fantasized that it had once been home to children, growing in the folds of the cruel beauty of nature. "I had an aunt who swears she could talk to the dead." Tom leaned forward. "She was a medium. Good too, apparently. People used to travel miles to see her. Told me I had an aura. The gift." "Have you tried it?" "I've watched. Been in the circle like, but never actually did it." Tom was about to suggest that they have a go now. He was so tense from his experience and overdosed on mystery that the thought of doing nothing was impossible. Before he could ask her, however, she shivered and continued, "I don't think I could ever do that. I mean, if they're real. Ghosts, that is. I don't want them crawling through walls and under my skin. If..." But Tom stopped listening, distracted by a sudden movement beyond the girl's shoulders. A figure drifted through the closed door. A young woman. She looked directly at Tom, her eyes wide, long pleated dress torn from foot to knee and mud streaked down the left hand of her face and neck. She was breathless. Looked around her, around the room, and then at the boy.
"Tom!" she cried. "Get out! Get out now before it's too late!"
DreamWorks.com.